So, dude, what do you want to talk about? Do you know, here, I got one. Once it loads.
Do you want to... You
know,
are listening to the Furlough
some...
Bro...
Nah. That's dumb.
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay, yeah, let me hear you say it, man.
You're listening in... Oh, jeez. I hate it with my tongue like that. I know it didn't sound like I wasn't going to be able to get it out, but if I tried one more syllable, it was going to become obvious that that sentence wasn't going to happen. You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Thanks for staying tuned.
So, care to guess what the top emoticon used in emails was in 2012?
Would you call it an emoticon? Yeah. Not an emoticon?
Correct.
Emoticon. Okay. What was
an emotion icon?
Yeah, yeah. I always thought they were said. I thought it was called an emoticon, but I guess an emoticon actually. I don't know.
I don't know.
I like yours.
There's no rules.
I think
for
I'm
this
gonna
stuff.
Stick with yours. You're seriously. There's no governing body. Have you ever seen those YouTube videos where like you Google how to pronounce it, and it's like this like really legitimate like this is how you pronounce it. They like show the word, they break up the syllables. But they pronounce it completely wrong. It's so funny.
That's awesome.
It was the top emoticon of 2012. I'm going to guess it was a kissy face or winky face. Winky faces seem pretty popular.
You're being too creative. There is a company called Q. Where they... they do email stuff, and so they get email information on what you use in your emails that you send.
Oh, that's not creepy.
You
have to sign up for this service.
You sign up for it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I should probably click on the learn more about Q thing. It's QUp.com. They tell me to learn more, and then they do tell me. Da 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 da. Yeah. Anyways. They review emails. The top emoticon is the smiley face. Just boring old smiley face. But of all the different emoticons used, this one was used 50% of the time.
Wait, what? Which one?
Just this regular smiley face.
Oh, just the regular smiley face?
Yeah.
Oh, that's totally boring.
I know, but we'll keep going. Guess how many, what the average number of words composed in 2012 was?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So this is, take all your emails, add them up, and then divide them by all people.
Wow. Wait, so the number of emails, not the number of words?
No. The number of words.
Per email.
No. Total.
Oh.
So take all the words per email, add all those words up. On average, how many words did we type out in 2012?
Wow, that is a tough very one. Dangerous. I'm going to guess 70,000.
You're in the ballpark. 41,000.
You know what actually makes sense?
Go ahead.
For those of you who don't know, the average novel length is between 80 and 120. So
they actually say that it is the equivalent in length of Lord of the Flies.
Right, that's about, I was gonna say, about 150 page novel. That's
so
that
these
ain't
people.
Bad.
These people are really busy. They received over 5,000 messages, and sent 800 messages.
Wow.
In a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is a ratio of about 6.3 to 1. They're receiving versus sending.
That sounds about right for me.
Also, I read this stat somewhere. I don't see it. I'll make it up. Because you won't know any better. The average email reply time last year in 2011 was 2.2 days. But in 2012 was 2.5 days. So it grew a little bit. But I don't see it anywhere on here. But I've heard about it. is basically what they showed was that like a lot of the emails, like 50% of them, actually get answered within the hour.
I'm gonna say deviation on this, not on this beast, because I'm sure it's huge.
Yeah, which means if you don't, basically, if you don't hear back from someone right away, it might be a while.
Right. Yeah. Expect a week.
Yeah. Exactly. 11 a.m. is when most people sent their emails, and Tuesday was the best day of the week.
11 a.m. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. Because I'm just finally deciding to get to work by 11 a.m. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. I'm ready to start. I've been here for 3 hours. I think I'm, let's, okay.
Then, again, probably boring and can be predicted, but do you know the number one animal mentioned
in dog. Emails?
Yep. Number two?
Oh, yeah. Cat.
Okay, this might be a little harder. Number three?
Giraffe.
Nope.
Okay, bird.
Again, skin, you got to think boring. So bird, was that your legitimate guess?
Yeah, bird's my...
No, it was fish.
Fish.
Which
fish,
leaves
yeah.
horse for number four.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
That wasn't that boring. Birds didn't make it. Well, I guess people don't really own birds.
I guess. I don't know. So anyways, that's Q. I should probably tell you more about what they do. Let's see here. Keep up with your work, life, and daily events you care about. Q turns the accounts you depend on, like email, contacts, and calendar, into an intelligent snapshot of your day. Q surfaces the right details at the right time, so you'll always be one step ahead. So there you go.
Nice.
That's how they know your email.
Nice. So a couple of competitors are having a good time right now. Well, one of them is Amazon and Barnes & Noble's. They have competitive products in a number of categories.
I would put them in the competitor category, I think.
Yeah.
They probably don't like each other a whole lot.
No. And so new data coming out, especially after this Christmas season. Barnes & Noble's is getting whomped. They are not even in the same ballpark. It's difficult to call them competitors at this point. Mm. Amazon is crushing Barnes & Noble's, which is really a bummer because it pretty much was going to be the only reason why Barnes & Noble's would stay around as a brick-and-mortar store. And now bookstores are going to go the way of CD stores, which is to say they won't exist anymore, which is kind of a bummer because I like bookstores, although
so,
I'm
an
e-reader and don't have books
anymore. Yeah, so Corvallis and Albany, they no longer have the Barnes & Noble, and the Border do not exist anymore. There's still some local bookstores, but that's about it.
It's just not... That can't be good for society.
Well, just downloading e-books. It's all good.
Well, I know. I realize that.
Audiobooks. It's the wave of the future. Get over it.
It still feels wrong. I don't know. I don't know. Does it? I mean, am I completely off base on this one? Because I am going by the gut here. This isn't. There's not a lot
you
of...
You own an e-reader. I don't understand. You're part of the problem.
I know.
So I really? Don't understand. What are you off about?
It just
feels just feeling bad.
I am different though, because I am not like the rest of people in that, you know, I am a highly educated reader. This is so condescending right now. But I fear for the rest of you all. since you're not like me. I don't know. It just I actually couldn't put my finger on it if I had to.
Did you feel bad when CDs were going out of style?
Not really, but
like, oh man, those vinyls, man. People aren't gonna be able to experience it for reals.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, and you know, now we got lossless compression and whatnot, but
it'll feel like when they do those haptic touch, you'll be like, oh, it smells and feels like paper.
Oh my gosh,
it'll
yeah,
be
that'd be
there.
Kind of exciting.
You know that's coming.
That is true.
It'll be lossless. You'll be able to press a button and no. You'll be able to smell your screen and it will always have that new book smell.
Oh yeah, and every time you open it, you get to be the first one to break the back.
Yes,
oh, I love that
see,
feeling.
There you go. Oh man, I hate breaking the backs of books.
That's so funny. Yeah. When we worked at the textbook, when we worked at the textbook office over the summers, where we like we so we worked for our high school textbook office repairing and prepping textbooks, and that was like the best part of the job. Was they'd get these just it would get hundreds of new textbooks, and the first thing I would do is you take a textbook and you just open it up right in the middle. Like, oh, break the back! Yeah, I get to be the first one. It was such a good feeling. I can't believe you don't like that stuff. I loved that. But I guess I'm different. I can't break the back on my e-reader anymore. Well, I could, but that'd be really bad. Disappointing. But I guess, I don't know.
You can do it once. I like, really enjoy it.
Yeah. I guess what my thought is, well, it's just weird. It's like the idea of not having books on your bookshelf anymore, or not having bookshelves in general. Or, you know, our kids are going to be like, why do we call them bookshelves? Because there was a time when you stored books on them. What are books? They're the things that are... I can't believe I need to explain this. but, you know, it's...
Dude, it's going to be those... like that with CDs and DVDs.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's... Yeah, it's... Yeah, why is the symbol for playing music and DVDs this round circular object? I don't get it. Because, actually, I think it'll be the play button from now on, but it's making that transition, as it were. But I guess what my point is I get, you know, I don't know if it's a bad thing. It's actually probably not a bad thing at all, but it's just sort of bummer. I like bookstores. I like the feel of a bookstore. I like going in, looking around, buying
some
coffee.
Like I said, imagine you open up the iBookstore and it smells like a bookstore. You even got the fresh coffee smell.
Yeah, but it's different. It's different.
I know.
It's very difficult to be pretentious
and
when
then
you're
we'll have Google glasses and you'll put those on and it'll be like, go to bookstore. And all of a sudden it'll turn to like holographic 3D. Be like, all right, I'm inside a bookstore. It smells like a bookstore. I can hear it. I'm reading a book right now because you just put my hands out and words magically appear.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, it's one of those things where it can't not happen. It's happening. There's no way around it. And, you know, the future of bookstores is going to be the Rasputins of music, or your small specialty stores that still do music, or they'll become, you know, I don't know, libraries. But libraries are going to be weird places too, because eventually libraries will just be, there'll be two things. There'll be a bunch of computers or stuff that, it'd basically be a bunch of computers of one form or another, and showers for homeless people, and, you know.
Study rooms.
Right. Study rooms, exactly.
Yeah, newspapers are the other one that you're kind of like, that's going to be a bummer.
It can't last, but, yeah, it can't last. And you know what the one thing that is true about things that can't last? They won't. it's just a matter of time, I think, before you see the trend and the transition away from these things.
But you're all good, man. You're on the Kindle wave, so
it's
all fine.
I don't know. Bookstores, they're so cool. Bookstores. Of course, what's funny about this is that if this were like 30 years ago and Barnes & Noble was on the warpath to crushing all your mom-and-pop stores, the disappointment would be like, oh, they're getting rid of all the mom-and-pop bookstores. This is horrible, this wave of the future. And now we're like nostalgic and feeling bad about Barnes & Nobles because they're not going to survive the Amazon onslaught. I know, it's funny. It's you don't really miss it until it's, man... Well, it's the King of the Hill thing, you know? You're watching the King of the Hill topple, and you're like, oh, now I feel bad for them. They used to be the King of the Hill. I don't know.
So another, I wouldn't say they're king yet, but they're on their way. Definitely the prince, or perhaps the belle of the ball is a better way to think about it. Square is continuing to kick butts and take names.
Yeah.
They announced that you'll now be able to buy their little card readers inside of Starbucks. So Starbucks is going to start taking. They will be accepting payments via Square, and then you will be able to accept payments via Square by buying a little card reader at their 7,000 stores.
Nice.
That's a lot. That's a ton. Yeah. They cost $10 to buy.
That ain't bad.
But, and it gets even better, there's a $10 credit that you can redeem. So
they're basically free.
Yes. And so as long as you use it once, no problem. If you never use it, okay, it costs you $10.
I pay myself money?
Sure. I don't think they care.
Well,
they do get their cut. You know, they're 2.5% or whatever it is.
Right.
So I guess you look at it that way, you're like, all right, it costs you a little bit.
Right, yeah, that's if you do a transition with yourself, a transaction with yourself, you actually use it for its intended purpose,
then the retailer pays it. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, pretty sweet. I like what they're doing.
And it's funny. I still think that the coolest part about it is how simple their technology is. I mean, it's which is amazing to me because I've had conversations with people just in the last couple of weeks where like had no idea how they read cards. Which I guess what it comes down to is like I've spent more time than your average person studying card readers and how they work and trying to figure it out and understanding it and how they're reprogrammed and everything. And, you know, one of those weird, like, rabbit holes that I've dug into, just go, where does this lead? So, like, to me, like, the idea of how it works is really, it's basically a tape deck running on your, you know, your phone, and so you just listen to the sound. Like, but it is super simple because they're so simple and they are very affordable because it literally is just a tape deck reader is all it is. And then they wrote, which is one of the cheapest pieces of technology out there. You can manufacture them for 10 cents, you know, in China.
Which they do.
The biggest cost is shipping. Yeah, the biggest cost is shipping. They're very reliable. And then you just need a little cool piece of code that can dissect the sound and do a little signal processing, which I don't know is one of the best, you know, studied areas of technology. It's one of those things where it's just so stable. It's so incredibly stable. And, you know, it that's the sort of thing that calls into question the whole e-wallet, you know. Well, not really. I still think there's a place for the e-wallet, but
you still got to use a credit card, but I mean, right. Well, at least initially.
But it's one of those things where, man, I love stuff like that because it is the apex of innovation in that it's incredibly simple. They just put the different components together and now they make a gazillion dollars and I think they deserve every penny of it because it's really cool. And it gives the power of commerce to the people. Bring the power to the people. That's the one of the, you know, personal computing revolution. Oh man. I like those guys.
Me too.
Man. So cool. Avis bought Zipcar. How do you feel about that?
Well, I've never used Zipcar. I probably never will.
But you wanted to, right? I mean, you were. What?
Yeah, if I could figure out, okay, it's not going to happen, but if I could figure out how to live life like I were in a big city, but not in a big city, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's particularly difficult because life in a big city is that way because you live in a big city.
I know. So,
it's one of those. It's one of your. If your aunt had, you know, male parts, then she'd be your uncle.
Yeah. No, I get it. So, I guess there are certain parts about living in a city that I am attracted to, and certain parts that I don't like. And if I could get rid of those parts, like the people, that would be. That would be awesome. But like you said, right? They come hand in hand because of the people. They have different solutions, and yeah, I get it. Whatever. And I know that I dislike the crowds enough that I'm going to miss out on the other cool things. And you accept that as my personal life story and move on. Zipcars is one of those things that I wish that I could participate in. I mean, I could, but it would make zero financial sense for me to do it because I own two cars already, and there are no Zipcar locations near me because it doesn't make sense in my small town. So I think the idea is very cool, and it's one step away from the like the complete sharing economy, like that dog vacay I was talking about. It's similar to it, which I was kind of pumped that we got to try it. Now I really want to try Airbnb, by the way.
Yeah.
Just because it was very cool. But all that to say, like, you know, I don't know what Avis's plans are with them. Is it their intent to keep the Zipcar brand and to just bolster it and really help it thrive and take off and, you know, just earn buku bucks off of it?
That's my question. I don't really know. And that's to me is the concern. Are they trying to protect their turf because they want to keep the rental car business, so they're just going to buy out anything that could change that model? Or do they realize that this is a hugely profitable model and they have a fleet of cars that can turn it from a couple of big cities into a really diverse network of cars, and they can, you know, bring it all over the world, and then they can, this can be the new way to do it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the plan is. I don't know if they know what the plan is. No, it's going to
feel it out as they go to some degree. I think I'd love to see Avis become more like Zipcar, I think, than the other way around. Yeah. I was just real quickly scanning one of the comments, and you know, he was saying if they supplement Zipcar with point to point and long term rentals instead of rent and return, he goes, I'd be pretty happy. You know, he's going, he likes Zipcar, and it could definitely improve in those areas, and I could see something like that where, you know, theoretically, Zipcar just got a bunch of different cars added to their, or you know, when it closes later, yeah, to their fleet, which is one of their big problems, is it's just not big enough, because you know, buying cars is not easy.
Yeah, it's gigantic capital expenses.
Yeah, and so you know, they have a whole bunch of access to that, which is nice, but I don't know. I'm intrigued for sure, and I'm going to be positive and think that Avis has good plans for them, and they're not just going to kill a competitor, because I don't think they view him as a competitor. I think they truly view him as a complimentary service, which I guess that's in this huge quote here. We see car sharing as highly complimentary to traditional car rental. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. $500 million? That's not bad.
$500 billion.
$500 million? You know, that's good for them. I think Zipcar's public too, aren't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think they are, and their stocks hasn't been doing excellent. But there it is. Mm. All right, man, I'm giving you one more.
Una más, okay.
And I probably should have broke it up at some point in time, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right. Next time. Oh, FTC. So this is kind of cool. The FTC basically came out this week, and they said, Google does not unfairly favor their own services, which is really important, because if they did, that would be abusing a monopoly, and or that could be the grounds for abuse of a monopoly, and then that's how you get into antitrust lawsuits, and they break up Google, which would be a bad thing. So they basically have to go like way out of their way to have genuine results where Google doesn't show up. You know, if you type in email into your browser, Gmail doesn't pop first above everything else. And actually, what's really weird is if you Google search engine, a lot of times it doesn't even show up at all as the search results. Like,
search engine. Dogpile is my number one.
Yeah, me too.
Wikipedia, Bing, number two. Custom Google search is number three. A comprehensive list of search engines, then Bing, then AltaVista, then Search Engine Watch, DuckDuckGo.
See, Wikipedia is my number two, and Bing is my number three. Wolfram Alpha is my number four, is how I roll.
Yahoo's, and then the 15 most popular search engines.
Yeah, but... But it's interesting. I mean, this is a bigger, you know, this is obviously a bigger issue than just search engine. But
what if I type in Google?
But it's you know, it's one of those things where they basically, if you go into email, if you just type email, Yahoo, mail.yahoo.com comes up first. Gmail comes up next.
I got Yahoo, Gmail, Spokio. Yeah, okay. YouTube.
Yeah.
How to do an email address search.
Yeah. If you type video, that's awesome. If you type video, Google Videos comes up first, not even YouTube. I thought Google Videos doesn't exist anymore.
Well, so I got Google Video. It's Video HP. What is that?
I don't know.
Hey, Yancey, you're number two on my list. Nice. Google Videos. HP.
But, I don't know. That's one of those... It's definitely something that Google had to manage carefully and well, which was to, you know, to not abuse their position of power of being the number one search engine. Give other people a fair shot, and it looks like they did. Cool. And, yeah. Nice job, Google. Woohoo!
See, that's why they're going to be fair with Android, you know.
Yeah, sure. Okay, do you want to get into the Google blocking maps on Windows phones?
Touche.
Now it's a fun one, but it sort of settled itself at the end of the week, so I didn't want to get into it too much. But they're not exactly playing nice with Microsoft right now at all. I mean, they're being rather brutal in, you know, a couple of degrees actually, but that one's still kind of shaking out, so I didn't want to. I figured if it becomes a thing in the next week or two, we'll get into it. But okay. I was going to let it just slide this week.
But you got your dig in, so that's all right.
Exactly. That's the important part. I just want our audience to know we pay attention to everything. We actually... I decide to not talk about stuff, not because we didn't notice it, but because we either think it's actually unimportant or it, you know, just hold on. We'll get there.
Or it's so obvious.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Exactly. Sometimes just assume that if we didn't talk about it, we know it, we just decide, we actually intentionally did it, you know, ignored it for whatever reason.
Yeah. Cool beans, man. Cool beans.
All right.
So thanks, everybody, for putting up with this little experiment. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how much energy I have to post-process everything, too. We'll find out. So with that, everyone, welcome to the new year. We'll be doing some experimenting on our end, trying to improve the show, listening to your listener feedback. It'll be good. So as you've probably figured out by now, I am James Furlow, and my brother is Matthew Furlow. So we'll talk next time. Thank you.